Time of supply is a very important piece of VAT legislation because the time of supply basically gives you a date on which an item is purchased or an item is sold. That date is crucial because it will determine which VAT return you account for the output tax on a sale or you recover the input tax on a purchase. The date is also crucial in case there was a change in the rate of VAT because the date will tell you which rate of VAT to charge, the old or the new rate. It is also crucial if there was a change in the law because the date will fix when the supply occurs and whether it happens under the old law or the new law. So the time of supply is an absolutely crucial piece of the legislation and it is of paramount importance when preparing your VAT return because it will show you which items to put on a particular VAT return and, as you may know, if you put the wrong thing in the wrong VAT return, you open yourself up to penalties, which we will look at in another lecture. Now the main rule is that there is a basic tax point for all goods and all services supplied. For goods, the basic tax point is the date the goods are removed from the supplier to the purchaser. So, for example, if I go into a shop and I purchase a sandwich, I am removing the sandwich from the supplier on the date that I buy that sandwich. If, for another example, I order some widgets, it is the date those widgets leave the factory where they are being manufactured in order to come to me that determines the basic tax point, the date of supply. For services, the date of supply is when the services are performed. For performed, I normally think of completed. If a plumber comes to your house to install central heating, then it is the date he has finished the installation, the date the services are really performed and finished. That is the tax point, the basic tax point date. Now the basic tax point can actually be overridden by a different date in two situations. We have got our basic tax point, which we looked at in the last slide. Now let us look at one situation which actually makes the actual tax point we use earlier than the basic tax point date. This will occur where there is a receipt for a payment on a date before the basic tax point date, or when the tax invoice is issued on a date before the basic tax point date. In these cases, the earlier date becomes the actual tax point date that we will use. The second scenario actually gives us a later tax point date than our basic tax point. Now, if we have not had an earlier tax point imposed on us, so all we have got is our basic tax point date, then if a tax invoice is issued in the 14-day period after the basic tax point, the tax invoice issue date becomes the actual tax point. Now, this 14-day rule can be waived by the trader. If he does not want to have this later date in as his tax point, he can choose to stick with the basic tax point date. As an alternative to our 14-day period, customs have the power to extend that 14-day period and, in a lot of cases, they will extend it up to 30 days to help businesses that only have one invoice run, usually at the end of every month. This allows those businesses to use the invoice date as their actual tax point for all supplies made in that month. Let us have a look at an example. Anne orders a wedding dress from Dressers Limited on the 1st of November. The dress is made by the company in November and Anne collects the dress on the 1st of December. The company issues an invoice on the 9th of December, which Anne pays on the 20th of December. Now, let us have a look at this example. The basic tax point is the date that the goods, the wedding dress, is removed from the suppliers to the purchaser. So this will be the date that Anne collects the dress, and hence will be the 1st of December. If there was a payment made before this date, or the tax invoice was issued before this date, then an earlier tax point would apply. That is not what happens in this example. If the tax invoice is issued within 14 days of the basic tax point, then the later date becomes the actual tax point we use. Now the invoice was issued on the 9th of December. This is within 14 days of our basic tax point on the 1st of December. Hence, the late tax point is the actual tax point that we will use for this supply, unless the company waive the right to use the later date, which is not very often the case in practice. Now it is time for you to have a go at a question. Using a similar scenario to our previous example, let us say that Anne orders the dress on the 1st of November, pays for the dress on the 1st of December, collects the dress on the 5th of December, and the company issues an invoice on the 9th of December. Which of the four dates shown is the actual tax point that the company will use? The basic tax point is the date the dress was collected, which is the 5th of December. But if a payment was made before this basic tax point, or if an invoice was issued before this tax point, then we use the earlier date, and in this example a payment was made on the 1st of December, and so that date becomes the actual tax point that we would use for this supply. Now I want to have a look at the situation where there are deposits or similar sorts of payments made. It is possible to have more than one tax point for the same supply. An example of this would be where a deposit is paid up front, and then, when the goods are delivered at a later date, the balance is paid. Let us have a look at how this scenario would affect our example with Anne. Let us say that Anne orders a dress on the 1st of November and pays her £500 deposit when she orders the dress on the 1st of November. She then collects the dress on the 1st of December. The company then invoice Anne for the balance due on the 9th of December, and Anne pays the balance on the 20th of December. Let us think about the deposit first of all.
The basic tax point for this supply is the date that the dress is collected on the 1st of December. The deposit was paid earlier than the basic tax point. It was paid on the 1st of November, and our normal tax point rules would say that the earlier date in respect of the deposit is the date we use as our tax point.
Thus, the 1st of November becomes the actual tax point for the deposit, because it was earlier than the basic tax point for the supply. Now, let us look again at the example, but this time we are thinking about the balance of the payment. Once again, the basic tax point is the date the dress is collected, on the 1st of December. The company then issue an invoice for the balance that is due on the 9th of December. This is within 14 days of the basic tax point for that balance, and hence the later date is the tax point for the balance. So, the 9th of December is the tax point for the balance. We have therefore got two tax points for this supply. The 1st of November is the tax point for our deposit. The 9th of December is the tax point for the balance. There are special rules on tax points for unusual situations in the legislation, and I have just picked out three of those situations for this slide. It is only possible, really, to issue a tax invoice showing VAT payable for a standard-rated taxable supply by a registered person. When you are looking at the tax point of an exempt supply, or a zero-rated supply, or a supply by an unregistered person, which could be important for registration liability calculations, then we do not consider the issue of a tax invoice. So when we are looking at our tax point rules that were discussed earlier, we only look at payment or basic tax points. We would only really be looking at our basic tax point date, and perhaps an earlier date imposed because of earlier payment. Sometimes with services, the services can be supplied all the time, and they are never actually finished, or as the legislation puts it, performed. Now an example of this would be rent. You are constantly being provided with the property for which you pay rent. Another example is consultancy work, which can constantly be ongoing but never really completed. For a continuous supply of services, we do not deal with basic tax point, because, of course, we do not have one, because the service is never performed. It is never completed. All we have got is payment and invoice. So, if an item is paid, or when the invoice is issued, thus, supplies which are subject to the continuous supply rule generate a tax point only by the issue of a tax invoice or payment passing. When these supplies are between connected parties, for example group companies, the charges are frequently passed between companies for accounting purposes, but no invoices are issued. In such a case, output tax is not declared, nor is input tax recoverable. However, where the input tax would not be recoverable, for example because the recipient is wholly or partially exempt, this causes a loss of revenue to customs. A new rule introduced by FA 2003 imposes a periodic tax point on continuous supplies between connected parties, generally leading to an annual VAT output tax charge. The type of supplies affected by this new rule are those for management charges, telephone, electricity, piped gas and water, and leasing of property and equipment. There have been some changes made in 2010 to when services made under the reverse charge rules are deemed to be supplied. From the 1st of January 2010, the time of supply is the earlier of when the service is completed or when the payment is made. For continuous supplies of services, the time of supply is the end of each billing or payment period.
If no invoice is issued or payment made during the year, the time of supply is the end of each calendar year.
Let us finish off by you having a go at a question. Karen orders a toy over the telephone from a mail order supplier, quoting her debit card number on the 12th of November. On the 14th of November, the supplier sends the toy to Karen. On the 16th of November, an invoice is issued showing full payment has been made. The tax point for the supply is, well, have a look at this question and click A, B or C to show what the real tax point is for this supply. Good luck. The basic tax point would have been the date the goods were supplied or left the premises of the supplier. So that would have been the 14th of November. But because a payment was made earlier than this basic tax point date, because a payment was made on the 12th of November, we use the earlier date as the tax point date for these supplies. The answer is the 12th of November.
Our final look in this lecture concerns how these tax point rules impact on the situation where a change in VAT rate occurs. Remember, in the first lecture we said that the standard rate of VAT is 17.5%, but for a temporary period that rate was reduced to 15%. The 15% rate applied between the 1st of December 2008 and the 31st of December 2009.
Let's imagine the situation where we bought some goods from our supplier towards the end of December 2009. We didn't pay for them at the time of delivery, but the supplier raised an invoice within 14 days, and the date of the invoice was sometime in early January 2010. Between receiving the goods and the invoice date, the rate changed from 15% to 17.5%. Now, if you are a VAT registered, fully taxable business, then you might not be bothered about the rate change because any VAT you incur is fully recoverable. However, if you make exempt supplies, then any VAT you incur is irrecoverable. So any increase in the VAT rate will be an additional cost to your business. What we are going to look at now is how we work out what VAT rate we should be charging on supplies where the supply might straddle a change in rate. And don't forget that the VAT rate is rising to 20% from the 4th of January 2011. So the rules we are looking at here apply equally to supplies that straddle 2010 and 2011. If you think back to the earlier part of this lecture and ignore the fact that we have a change in the rate to contend with, under basic principles, when is the time of supply in this situation? Remember that the basic point is when the goods are made available or removed to the customer. So this was in December 2009. However, we also know that a later tax point arises where an invoice is issued within 14 days of the basic point. Therefore, under basic principles, we would pay VAT at 17.5% on the supply.
We've already said that if you were a business making exempt supplies, then you would prefer that this did not happen. What we now need to do, then, is look at the special rules contained in the legislation to check whether this would still apply in our scenario. Section 88 of VATA 1994 governs the special rules. It says that if the basic tax point falls one side of the rate change, but the tax point rules have shifted the supply to the other side, then the supplier can choose to charge VAT at the rate that applies, based on the basic tax point instead. So, in our example, the basic tax point fell on one side of the rate change, and the tax point rules shifted the supply to the other side. The supplier then could choose to use the rate of VAT that applies according to the basic point. Now, in our situation where the business buying the goods makes exempt supplies, it would want the supplier to make that choice, because they would now incur irrecoverable VAT at 15% instead of 17.5%.
Note that this piece of legislation only affects the rate of VAT. It doesn't change the tax point date itself. So the entry on the VAT return must still be in accordance with the date of the supply. In our example, the date of the supply was still in January. So if the trader was completing VAT returns for calendar quarters, then he would account for the VAT in the March 2010 VAT return. The rate he would use would, however, be 15%.
Have a go at the following example to decide whether the supplier would want to use the special rules in Section 88, where they were supplying goods to non-VAT registered businesses or VAT registered businesses that make exempt supplies. Put a tick in the box if you think that the supplier would like to use the rate that applies according to the basic point. How did you do? If goods are paid for in December 2009, but delivered in 2010, then using our basic principles, the tax point would be the date of payment in 2009. Remember that making a payment gives us an earlier point, and this is the date we would use to determine the rate that applies. In 2009, the rate was 15%, so we would rather charge our customers this rate than the 17.5% rate. If we elected to use the Section 88 rules, then the rate we would charge would be 17.5%, because we would look at the rate applicable when the goods were delivered. This would not be advantageous to our customer, so we would not like to use the special rules. In the second example, if the goods are delivered in 2009, the basic tax point is at the 15% rate. However, as an invoice is issued within 14 days, the tax point, under normal rules, would be in 2010, and therefore the rate the supplier would charge would be 17.5%. So in this situation, the supplier would use the special rules to change the rate to the 15%, i.e., the rate applying at the time the goods were delivered.
We've already mentioned that these straddle rules apply equally to situations arising when the VAT rate rises to 20% from the 4th of January 2011. Supplies that straddle 2010 and 2011 will be subject to the same rules that we've just looked at. In addition, though, because the VAT rate is rising by 2.5%, customs are putting legislation in place to stop traders entering into schemes with their suppliers to get goods or services at the 17.5% rate when those goods will be delivered or services performed after the 4th of January 2011. The legislation will provide that where arrangements are artificial, a supplementary 2.5% charge will be due. The legislation will apply to standard rated goods and services and will kick in situations such as those where the supplier and customer are connected and the customer cannot recover all of the VAT on the supply.